Would you please join me in a brief word of prayer? O Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my God. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, one of the things that we discover in the sacred scriptures, one of the things that we discover in the Bible is that it is full of promises. We could say there are promises from Genesis all the way through the book of Revelation. You might call the Bible a wonderful, wonderful book of promises that God himself gives to all people. It contains many of the promises that God has made to his people, and he has made those to his people throughout the centuries. And these promises are still valid today, such as the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and many other promises as well. When I was at a local Bible store some time ago, I ended up picking up this little book. In fact, over the years, I bought copies of this and gave it out to my confirmation class at Peace Lutheran Church. And this little book, it says, The Jesus Person Pocket Promise Book, 800 Promises from God's Word, 800 Promises from Sacred Scripture. Now, there are times when God's people in our sinful nature may doubt God's promises. Yet God has never reneged on one single promise he has made. Sometimes the politicians, when you watch them in a debate, get up there and make promises and say things, and then afterwards the media has a fact check. They want to check out the facts to see what they're saying, if it's true or not. When we look at the Bible and do a fact check, we realize that God keeps his promises. I could spend all day up here talking about a promise that God made through a prophet that was later fulfilled. And think of all the promises God made through his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning, I'd like to take a moment to examine one particular example of God's promise that was made. And that was in the life of two very important people in Scripture, Abraham and Sarah. They were promised a family. They were promised many, many descendants. God told Abraham that his descendants, remember, would be like the stars in the very heavens. They would be like the grains of sand on a seashore. One day, the Lord visited Abraham with two other angels, and this account, if you'd like to look at it later today, is recorded in Genesis chapter 18. And Abraham was now 100 years old, and his wife Sarah was in her early 90s. The Lord told Abraham that his wife would have a child within the next season, within a year. Sarah overheard the conversation, and she laughed to herself. She laughed at the possibility of her having a child in her 90s. She thought it would be impossible for someone her age to have a child. But the answer was received and given by the Lord was this: is anything too hard for the Lord? And as the scriptures remind us, and as the scriptures teach us, God kept his promise. A year later or earlier, Sarah had that first child, Isaac. And if you remember the name, the meaning of Isaac means to laugh. I guess the joke was on her and Abraham. God kept his promises to Abraham and Sarah. Now, it may not have been on their timetable, as it may not be in our lives at times, but God keeps his promises. God kept his promise to both of those individuals. And in doing so, he showed the power of himself as God and the miracle of having a child at that age. As I said at the beginning, the Bible is full of promises from Genesis all the way through Revelation. It's truly amazing. Promises that cover every kind of situation, every kind of circumstances. What are some of the promises that you might have discovered in the scriptures that have been helpful to you over your lifetime? Is there a certain Bible passage that might come to mind that you've discovered, that you've read, that you've looked at time and time again? Perhaps it was during a time of severe testing or temptation, maybe a time of grief or confusion, and you turned to the scriptures and read a promise and it brought comfort and consolation to you. Maybe the feeling of being overwhelmed by what was happening around you in that particular situation, feeling helpless, weak, afraid, maybe of what the future might bring, maybe even fearful of death and the experience of dying. What words from Scripture have had a powerful impact on you? Can you remember one, maybe, from the Scriptures this morning? All of us at some time or another in our lives will come against some trouble or situation that will test our faith, that will test us, whether it is maybe bad news from a doctor giving us a prognosis about a situation, a health situation in our life that we do not want to hear or we are not ready for. Or maybe it's stress. There's a lot of stress in our world today. We're a very busy society, and families are under stress with all of the things happening around us. Maybe there's conflict in a family or conflict at work. Or maybe someone has been attacking you because of your faith in Christ, and that certainly is happening more and more to believers today. Or some other situation or circumstance comes in your mind this morning. Yet God promises always to be by our side, holding us up, keeping us steady, giving us courage, even in the darkest moments of life. Now, I'd like to share with you a few of the promises that I found in Scripture that are meaningful to me, and I've read many, many times over. From Isaiah 41, verse 10, we read these words from the Lord. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And then we find Psalm 46, a psalm that inspired the great reformer Martin Luther to write his great hymn, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. And it begins Psalm 46, verses 1 and 2. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. And then that great passage from Psalm chapter 50, verse 15. And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you will honor me. And then we find this from John chapter 8, verse 12, the very words of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who says these words, and he speaks them with authority. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will have the light of life and will never walk in darkness. You see, whatever the darkness that might be in our lives, Jesus promises to be the light that calms our troubled hearts and that surrounds us with all of his peace and with all of his love and with his protection. Now, one thing the scriptures make clear, that our God is omnipotent, all-powerful, that our God is omniscient. He knows everything, and Jesus knows each of us intimately and dearly, and he knows everything that's happening in our life, at work, at home, at school, wherever it might be. He knows the things that can make us anxious, the things that can cause us stress and bring worry to our minds and heaviness to our hearts. And Jesus promises, as the Father knows me and I know the Father, in the same way I know my sheep and my sheep know me. The relationship between the Father and the Son is intimately connected, is intimate, is personal. And that is the way that relationship is between Jesus and each one of us. The Lord tells us that he knows how many hairs are on our head. Now, I haven't ever taken time to try to count the strands of hair on my head. But God is concerned about it. Isn't that amazing? So he says, how much more am I concerned about you and about your welfare? That's the way it is between Jesus and us. He knows what we need in any given moment, and he's ready to step in and help us, even if it means giving up his very life for each of us. God invites us not only on Sunday morning in worship, but every single day of the week when we get up in the morning, before we go to bed at night, to come and pray to him and bring our troubles and find the strength and the resources to deal with those things through his strength and power given to us. Again, call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver you. He says that to his people. He says that to his children. He says that to each of us this morning. And also Jesus says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. You see, we can't find true rest in the world. We can't find true peace in the world. That can only come and be given by Christ himself. And as St. Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, another wonderful passage, a passage with a tremendous promise, cast your cares on him. Whatever cares you might have, cast on him, because he cares for you. We indeed have a loving Heavenly Father. Something to celebrate this morning. Something to celebrate this afternoon, tonight, and every single day of the year. We have a loving Heavenly Father who sent his Son into the world to seek and save the lost so that no one would perish. We've been talking about John chapter 3, verse 16 during the season of Lent, that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever has faith, puts their trust, the weight of their trust in him, will not perish but have eternal life. Today we find ourselves just about 4 weeks away from Good Friday and Easter Sunday. We are reminded that God carries through on his promises regardless of whatever the consequences may be. In the Old Testament, through his prophet Moses and all of the other prophets, God promised salvation. God promised forgiveness. God promised life and a new beginning, a new relationship with him. And that all came true with the sending of his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the fulfillment of Moses and the prophets. In fact, he would refer his followers, his disciples, back to the scriptures and say, this is what it says about me. I came to fulfill all of these things. God has known from the day that Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden sinned and disobeyed the Lord and brought sin and ruin into the world, that humanity's greatest need was a relationship. A relationship that needed to be reestablished between fallen, broken, depraved, corrupt man and God himself. You see, our sins get in the way. Our sins of our thoughts, our words, and our deeds get in the way of our relationship with God. We feel guilty, so I don't feel like going to the Lord in prayer. We feel guilty, so I don't feel like going to church, maybe, because of my sin. And God realized this sin problem was a serious problem. How can we who are tarnished by sin all over and corrupt by sin ever have fulfillment, complete fulfillment in life? Or enter the place where God dwells. Enter heaven itself. We certainly don't have a chance on our own, nor, to be honest, do we deserve it. We don't deserve it at all. For Scripture reminds us, there is no one who is righteous, no, not even one. There is no one who is good before God. Paul tells us all have sinned And not only sin, fallen far, 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 far short of the glory of God. And God knows that too. And so, in his divine mercy, and in his plan to save us, this fallen people, he sent his only son because he loves us so much that he wants everyone, literally everyone in the world, to have eternal life by coming to know his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus died on the cross not only to free us from our guilty feelings caused by sin, but the consequences of sin itself. And those consequences are separation from God, death, spiritual death, eternal damnation. Serious things, very serious things. Jesus was sent to take on those things, to overcome them for us, to deliver us, and to free us to be a new kind of people who know God and his love and want to share that love with others. The Apostle Paul writes in the book of Romans, because of Christ, and Paul was, in his eyes, the greatest sinner of all. But yet he could write, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If I am in Christ, if I am in a relationship with Christ, if I love and believe in Jesus as my Lord and Savior, the blood of the Lamb has taken away all of my sins, and I am forgiven. I am heaven-bound. I'm a citizen of heaven while on earth, doing the work of the Lord, showing God's grace, doing it out of love as a thank you to God for the free, undeserved gift of forgiveness and eternal life through the merit and blood of Jesus Christ. Paul goes on and says in his book of Romans, God has shown us how much he loves. It is while we were still sinners that Christ died for us. By his blood, we are now put right with God. We were God's enemies, but he has made us his friends through the death of his son, Jesus. You know, Scripture talks about people being enemies of God. Think how horrifying that would be. How terrible it would be to be an enemy of Almighty God, the creator of the universe, an enemy of God. But through Jesus Christ, the Scriptures tell us we are friends of God. You know a friend you can call up and talk to? You can drop by and visit their house. You have a close relationship with a friend. Well, that's the relationship God has with us. He wants to visit with us each day through word and sacrament and through the Scriptures. Our sin has been dealt with. Jesus did that on the cross of Calvary. That's why it's so important. That's God's promise given to us there. Through his death and resurrection, Jesus dealt death a death blow. A death blow. Jesus has given us the victory over everything that threatens our well-being. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that good news for us today and every day? He has done so because God, in keeping his promises, again, does not want one single person to perish, but to be saved. It is now through the word of God that is spread through people like you and me, that the gospel is brought to people who are walking in darkness. St. Paul wrote in Romans 8, nothing in all creation is able to separate us from God's love in Jesus Christ. We can think of all kinds of obstacles that might threaten us, and Paul lists them in the book of Romans, things that peril and tribulation and all kinds of other things that can challenge our faith. But none of these things, nothing in the earth or world can separate us from God's love in Christ because it's so powerful and strong. Even in the middle of the storms of life, Jesus is there always to bring us his peace, his comfort, his help, his aid. Now, one important thing always to remember, God has given us all of these wonderful promises. But yet as his people living in a fallen world, we will experience things because we live in a fallen world. It doesn't mean that we will never face difficult times. It doesn't mean that we will not have challenges in our health, that we will not face death itself. But in all of the difficult things that we face, even death, he promises to be with us and carry us to the other side, where we will be with him forever. And as we go through those struggles and those challenges, he enables us to grow in our faith with character because of those things, and enabling us to be witnesses to other people around us going through similar situations who aren't able to handle it. And they'll ask, how are you able to be so strong under the weight of what you are carrying? And you'll say, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. He gives me a peace. He gives me a power. He gives me an ability to do something that I didn't think was possible. But he does it. And St. Paul has the answer. Scripture is just filled with powerful Bible verses that fill our hearts with comfort when we face times like this. And he says in his letter to the Philippians, he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that is a passage worth each one of us memorizing. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When we face those obstacles, those challenges, turn to Christ and say, Lord, give me the strength that you promise to enable me to get through this particular situation. It's a promise that we can rely on today and each day of our lives. It's a promise that God also wants us to share with others. See, all of these promises that I'm sharing with you today, the Lord wants us to share those promises with those outside this congregation, with those who might find themselves experiencing a major challenge in their life, with those who are walking in a different direction, not toward God, but away from God, those who are walking in darkness and are unable to find peace and satisfaction. Their souls remain restless because they do not know him who is the source of all peace, our Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless us this morning and give us his peace, his comfort, his strength, and enable us to put our full weight and confidence in the promises that he has given us in sacred scripture. To him be all glory, for now and forever. Amen. And now may the peace of Almighty God, which truly transcends all human understanding, keep and guard our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We now continue our service with our prayers. Would you please rise? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this day, we are thankful and excited for the many, many promises that you have given us in Scripture. Promises that you are with us through all things. Promises that you have given us life and salvation and forgiveness and even the promise of heaven forever and ever with you because of your Son, Jesus. We thank you that you have sent your Holy Spirit to us through the sacraments and through our baptism and through the power of your word to strengthen us during those difficult times of life. Bless this congregation and fill us with your Spirit today and each day that we may testify of the good news of salvation in Jesus during this holy season of Lent as we look forward to each week as we draw near to the celebration of your resurrection and your victory over sin, death, and the powers of darkness. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord in heaven, we also want to thank you today, Lord, for opening up the heavens and showering California and other parts of this country with that badly needed snow we needed here and rain in the valley to get us through the coming months during the dry summer. In your mercy, continue to bless us with this needed substance so that we may have adequate rain and snow for that time. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord in heaven, we also remember before you those within the congregation who are in need of strength and healing, those who may be homebound. Be with them and comfort them with a special measure of your Holy Spirit. Bless them, Lord, as they turn to you through your word and take in those promises that you have given to them. Let them know and have the very strength of Christ to enable them to deal with whatever it is that they may have before them, including many people here today who may be dealing with specific issues within their lives. Lord, you know them. Give us that peace and strength, we pray. Lord, in your mercy. Continue to guide and direct and bless those who have political authority over us in this great land. Grant them wisdom on high, gracious Lord, as they enact and carry out laws that are beneficial for our society and bring about peace and stability. Lord, in your mercy. And gracious Lord, grant your comfort and blessings upon those in the armed services serving our country, especially those who may be members of this congregation, friends or family of members of this congregation. Be with them and grant your peace and protection upon them and enable them to be witnesses for Christ in their particular situations. Lord, in your mercy. And again, Lord, grant your blessing upon this church as we remain witnesses here at Emmanuel and throughout the community of Clovis and Fresno and even to the rest of the world. Amen.